Good morning. Greet you in the name of Jesus, the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. And I greet you with the words out of Thessalonians 1, verse 2 to 4. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, of you brothers and sisters, as it is meet or as it is fitting, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or love of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So Paul is greeting the Thessalonians with the familiar words of grace and peace. And he's commending them for the love and the patience they have shown, even as they went through difficulties. And may that be said of us as well, that our light continues to shine, so that the love that we have one for another and the patience and the faith that might continue to be a witness. Also, a welcome to those that are watching online as well. Glad you could join us. My name is Peter Berg, and it's good to be here in New Bothell. Let's start with a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and your leading, and how you're with us through your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for how we can gather in church, how we can worship you, how we can look into your word and learn of you. And we just pray your Spirit's leading as we do that, as we want to lift up your name. Bring glory to that holy name. So we thank you for each one that has come, for each one that has tuned in, and we just pray your blessing on this time. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We'll start with a few songs, please.
In the blue hymnal, number 96, Heaven Came Down. Feel free to stand.
Heaven came down and glory.
92, Angels from the Realm of Glory.
Love of Jesus.
Thank you. Please enjoy songs of praise to God. What a wonderful way to start this morning, praising the Lord. I was thinking each of these songs has a message. This last one, when we all get to heaven. And I've had people come up to me and say, oh, they don't agree with this song, because not everyone's going to heaven. And that's true. And yet this is pointing to the hope that believers have, that believers will all be in heaven. And yet if one thinks about how the words exactly say it, you know, we need that faith, that trust in Jesus. For those, and we will all be in heaven one day. The first song talked about heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And that is this time of Advent we are in, as we remember how Jesus came down. Born a little baby to a poor couple, Mary and Joseph. How they raised their little baby and brought him to the temple. You know, when he was 12 years old, he stayed there. They couldn't find him. They later went back and found him there. Jesus said, I must be about my father's business. He had work to do. Even at the age of 12, he realized already that God's call was upon him. And now Jesus continued and started the public ministry when he was baptized at age 30 or 33, whatever the age was there. He ministered, he taught, and eventually he fulfilled salvation's plan in that he was killed. He died in my place, in your place. He took that punishment upon himself. He paid the debt, as this one song goes. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt I could not pay. And that message, thinking of Jesus, his first coming and also his coming again one day. And that's what this last song was about. How he will come again one day. And the second song talked about this Christmas time, you know, how the angels gave the tidings of great joy. And they are tidings of great joy, you know, what the Lord has done for us. And music does so much, you know, that middle song, oh, what a wonderful day. I know there were times I was just feeling blessed, and a song came to my heart. Often this line would come to my mind. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I'm telling. He made the darkness depart. Beautiful message of not only of eternal life, but also a blessed life on this earth. And why does someone become a Christian? So they can go to heaven when they die, right? Well, also that we can live for God here. And there's blessing in that. There's blessing in serving God and praising his name. You know, there's times that we may feel down and discouraged, have we been praising God? Have we been thanking him? And a very important part of our spiritual walk is to praise God, to thank him. I have a number of papers here. I need to pick now which one I want to talk about first here. We were at UGM yesterday with, maybe some of you were there too. Mostly from Steinbeck. I shared a devotional. I thought that this one is also a little bit about Advent. The devotional starts with a verse out of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the gospel in a nutshell has been described. That our life is in Christ. But the story here talks about something that happened in Hawaii in the 1800s. And in the islands there, you know, some people will get leprosy. And the government in the island, they set up a colony in one of the islands so that people that had leprosy, they would get sent to that island just to try to curb its spread throughout the island. So they had a colony on this one island of Molokai. And that's where they were. But who administered to them? Who would help them? There was a priest there, Father Damon, who volunteered to go to the island and help the lepers. So he went there. It says he was shocked when he saw the physical, emotional, and spiritual suffering there. There was so much hopelessness and despair. You can imagine that if you got the dreaded disease of leprosy and were sent to this island. You know, it could seem hopeless. And that's what he found there, a lot of hopelessness and despair. So he started to work. He built some hospitals and clinics there, churches, and coffins even. And while he's working there, he's understanding the risk he's at, that he could get the disease too. But he had decided to work among the people there. For years, he would begin each church service with the words, "My dear brethren." One Sunday in 1885, he stood up in front of church and he said, "My fellow lepers." So he had also gotten the disease. It was out of his love for the people that this humble priest gave these lepers a gift that would change their lives. He became one of them. And that is the story of Christmas, how Jesus became one of us. We see that in John chapter 1. I wanted to share a few verses there. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So there we see how the Word, referring to Jesus, was at creation. Jesus, as God's Son, was there at creation already. There he's called the Word of God. The Word of God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus often talked about light. And, for example, he said, "I am the light of the world." And he said, "We are to shine our lights," in Matthew. So Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So many comments about light. Jesus is the light, and he asks us to shine our lights as a witness in this world. Verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." So there he makes reference to John the Baptist. How John was preparing the way, and we often find John's story kind of tied together with this Advent time, because John was the forerunner to prepare the hearts of the people Make yourself ready. Jesus is coming. Make yourself ready. That's what John did. And his message to the people was repent, be baptized. And because that is what it's really about. In making ourselves ready for God, really the main thing is that we put aside our own ways and live for him, go his way. And he helps us with that. He doesn't expect us to do everything on our own. To the Holy Spirit, he gives us strength and leading to live for him. So John came to bear witness of the light. Verse 9, that was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. This is quite a sad part. How his own people that he made and loved and cared for rejected him. And we see that when Jesus was arrested, taken to Pilate, and how it was the religious leaders that told the people, we don't want Jesus. So the mob was calling out, crucify him, crucify him. They rejected Jesus. And they did crucify him, a horrible death. Yet he died in our place. He took our punishment upon himself so that we can take his blessing, his reward upon us, his gift to us. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Even to them that believe on his name. There's a gospel message again. We believe in the name of Jesus. We trust him. Commit ourselves to him. And that is the story of Christmas. God sent Jesus to be our Savior, our Redeemer, our coming King, and how we are invited to join him. We're invited to join him. To receive that gift of eternal life. It's not enough just to be in church. Yes, we want to be in church, we want to praise God, we want to fellowship, but that's not our salvation. In Revelation, it's Revelation 20, it talks about all the dead will stand before God and the books will be opened, and the dead are judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And so we aren't decided on our salvation, how many days we were in church, that's not our salvation. Our salvation is our faith, trust in Jesus, that we have followed him. We are encouraged to pray the sinner's prayer, which is the start of salvation. That we come and confess our faith in Jesus. It's often referred to as the ABCs. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead and confess. And that's just the start. We need to continue to abide in Christ. Jesus talked about that in John 15. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Every branch that abideth in me. As the branches need to abide in him. We need to stay in him. We know how it is. If you cut a branch off or it breaks off from a tree, it goes, lies on the side there and dries up. And So he encourages us to stay in the vine, to stay connected to our Lord. And that is such an important part of our faith, that we continue to receive that sustenance, that strength through the Holy Spirit. You know, someone asked a question of me a while ago, and how did it go? You know, I pray and pray and pray, and it seems that God doesn't hear me. You ever experienced that? We don't want to give up. You know, Jesus told a little story about the widow who came to the judge. And, you know, she kept coming to the judge for help, and the judge wasn't interested in helping this lady, this widow. But she kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. Until finally he said, you know, I already put it. Though I fear not God nor respect men, yet because this widow kept coming, he would finally help her just to kind of get rid of her. That's the understanding there. So Jesus used that story to say, well, you just keep coming to God. You don't give up. It's in our persistence that is such an important part of our faith, that we keep on praying. We don't give up. Another important part of that is, are we in the Word? Are we reading the Bible? Are we spending time to see what God has to tell us? You know, maybe we are praying and praying and praying, but if we're not opening up the Word to see what God has to say, you know, are we doing our part? And yes, it's not the same for everyone. Not everyone can read as well as the next one. And that's okay. It's just how it is. But we can read something, and we can read one verse, two verses, you know. Think about it. Reading the Bible isn't about how many verses and chapter we can read, how many chapters. But just open it up, and what does God have to say to us? And there's other issues that come in too, that we may feel like God isn't hearing us. And, you know, we are in a challenging times. What did Paul say about that? Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful or be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So Paul told us, you know, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Oh, is that? I'd say that's easier said than done, right? Well, did Paul live in such a peaceful time that he could say that? No, don't worry. Is that why he could say that? If you look in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul mentions some things that he's gone through. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, meaning whippings. He was whipped at times. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent. So he was often in prison. And deaths oft, meaning he was often close to death. I think of the one story there in Acts, I think it is in Acts, where the people stoned him, dragged him out of the city and stoned him, and they left him for dead. They thought, oh, he's dead. And the persecutors went back into the city. But then eventually Paul got up again. You know, he was close, it looked like he was dead. He wasn't. God strengthened him again. Verse 24, of the Jews, 5 times received a 40 stripes save one. What does that mean? 40 stripes save one. It means one less than 40. 39. The law there said you could whip someone with 39 stripes. That was the max. So he got that five times. He was whipped. Verse 25, thrice or three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Okay, there's that time. Thrice or three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I had been in the deep. And journeyings often in perils of waters. Perils would be in trouble. Okay, in trouble on water. In trouble with robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. His own people were against him. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, he's had pain, in watchings or sleeplessness, often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? I must needs glory, I will glory the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. So Paul went through more than any of us have gone through, much more. What does he say in Philippians 4:6? Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Don't worry, he says. We need to pray. We need to pray. How much do we pray? And it's, again, not about the number of minutes in prayer, but are we taking time every day to talk to God? I'm involved with our youth group at church, this time at church, and we like to start with a prayer in our class, and we've been going through Psalm 139, the first part, kind of talking about what it means. And one Psalm 39 is actually a prayer of David. And talking about prayer, and they have some interesting comments. You know, one of them commented, you know, praying is one thing and talking with God is something else. Oh, okay. It's one thing to pray and one thing to talk to God. So what's the difference? And one of the girls said, well, prayer, you say amen at the end. Okay. And just interesting observations from young people. Do we always have to say amen when we talk to God? That's kind of the thing there. I was looking in Scripture and I could only find one prayer, kind of a formal prayer, that had an amen at the end. That was the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. There it is. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 11 doesn't have an amen at the end. I'm not against, you know, we say amen at the end, which is fine, but we can talk to God when we're driving along. We can talk to him. You know, Lord, I just ask your help with this or that. And both of them are prayer. They're both prayer. We can talk to God anytime, and then we can have a more formal prayer with an amen at the end. That's both prayer. But just the importance of prayer in getting stronger in our spiritual walk. So he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You know, it's so easy to focus on the negative. You know, what am I complaining about now? That's natural tendency to look at the bad things and talk about the bad things. But is that always helpful? Sure, there's times that we need to express something. We need to at times. But that can't be our focus. You know, he says here, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We need to keep on thanking God And make that our habit, that we are thankful people. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So which requests can we all bring to God? What can we all talk about? You know, we pray for, you know, that God will bless our church and minister's message and our children. And I was visited someone a little while ago, and he was a little bit anxious about something. He lost a paper, or at least he couldn't find it. He thought it was lost. He was looking all over the place for it, and I was helping him, you know, going into the room he thought it was, and he looked in the other room, and even went out to his vehicle looking for this paper. And I said, well, should we pray about it? No, we don't pray about such things. Oh, okay. We kept looking, couldn't find it, and asked again, well, why don't we pray, ask God about this? I think it was second or third time I asked that question. And he said, okay, let's pray. So we prayed, asking God for help in finding. This was an important paper. Finding this paper. And I said, amen. Finished a prayer, and it wasn't long after that I saw it on his little bulletin board where he had put it. It was kind of tucked behind a different paper. That's why we couldn't see it. But after we prayed, and oh, there it is. I saw the corner of it. You know, we can pray about really anything. We can talk to God about. And not be afraid to come to him. He's never going to say, oh, you already prayed. You don't need to come again. No, he's not going to say that. Jesus encouraged that, to come often in prayer. And that is important. And remember, with thanksgiving, you know, remember to thank him. Remember to thank him. So, I think we'll maybe leave it there for today. I'd like to just thank you for joining us in church this morning, and why don't we close with a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you that you are there and that we can come to you at any time. We can talk to God, we can pray, and that you hear us. And guide us, Lord, in those times when we may feel distant, that you would continue to draw us to yourself, for that is what you want. You want us to come to you in humbleness and repentance and bringing our requests before you, for you love us and you care for us. We thank you. And we thank you for this time of Advent leading up to Christmas, as we remember the coming of Jesus as a little baby. What that means for us, well, that is salvation. That you, Jesus, are the one that brought us salvation. Well, we thank you. Guide us as we prepare for Christmas, and we also prepare our hearts for you, for your second coming. For you will come again one day soon. Help us to be ready for that. And I pray, Lord, that someone listening that isn't ready for your coming or is not sure, Lord, that you might just stir their hearts to just examine themselves. You know, am I ready for Jesus when he comes? Or there's some things that I should clean up yet. And Lord, that we might just bring that to you, knowing that you're waiting for us. And you know, if there's someone that you're calling, they might just pray, Lord, forgive me my sins. I admit that I'm a sinner. And I believe in you, Jesus, as my Savior. I pray that you might forgive me my sins. And I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, that you might do that. You might fill them with your Spirit, drawing them to yourself. You might find a church, that you might find believers to share with. You might just build that work in their lives. continue to guide me, continue to guide us as a church in supporting one another and doing our part. Guide our government leaders as well, that they might look to you for leading. You might just lead their way, and we trust you with that. Pray for our other churches, our conference, our other ministerial, our bishop. Guide each one here as well, those involved with the music, with PA, with Sunday school, whatever it might be, Lord, that you might just guide us through your Spirit. And I thank you for your leading with this message, and we just pray your blessing as we go. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At the close of the message, we'd like to take the opportunity for silent prayer, inviting each one to, you know, bring those things to the Lord that are on their heart. So for those that are able, let's kneel for prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Again, I'd like to thank you for joining us, and I'll just close with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Sorry, there's some announcements yet.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a few announcements here that I want to make. We have decided that for December 25th, 26th, January 1st, and January 6th, there will be only one service. It will be half German and half English, and they will start at 9:30 in the morning. So we will try to get it into the bulletins yet, but so that you know that 25th and 26th, January 1st and January 6th, those 4 days, you will have only one service, half and half, starting at 9:30. And also, I was asked to announce that Peter Dake, Bernardo's brother, Peter, he is in intensive care in the hospital. They have put him this last night, and he's very sick. And he asked for the prayer support for his family. His parents are Henry and Alina Dick, right? Katerina, okay. Henry and Katerina Dick from McGregor. So let's keep them in our prayers, and also there's some Peter and the family. And then the other thing is about the Christmas program, the Christmas program here in church will be on December 12th at 6:30. And the Sunday school, the superintendent and vice superintendent have planned that we'll have coffee and dainties yet afterwards. So each one brings some favorite snacks, and then we'll have the program. It's going to be more like a church program. If anybody wants to participate with some songs or poems, you're supposed to tell them, and then they will prepare for that. So thank you. May God bless you.
Thanks, Brother Jake. Again, thank you for joining us, and may God bless you. Go in peace with the Lord.